Malachi 3, verse 8. It's kind of funny. This is actually what you typically hear at church around this time. Because for those in the recording, this is our giving time that we call it. But people typically call this offering, right? Now, we're not hung up on terminology. God doesn't care about terminology. It's okay if you call it offering, right? I mean, it's just it's a word, right? What matters, God cares how you think. He doesn't care and what you think about him in particular. But we typically call this offering at this time, and it's actually this verse, or these verses, where we get that phrase, okay? This is the Old Testament, obviously. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. And it says, will a man rob God? And this is God speaking to Israel specifically, right? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed you? And he says, in tithes and offerings. Now, please keep this all in context, right? I have, even recently, you know, met so many people that they really don't care so much about what God's saying as much as what they've heard before. I know we've said this a lot at this church, but lots of people, and I'm not saying necessarily us here, but lots of people, honestly, they really don't care what God's saying as much as does it fit in the, you know, within the confines of what the church believes today. Again, there are certain things. Can think about how many verses you know about the Trinity that actually explain how that works. Because we have a lot of teaching on that today, right? For instance, in the body of Christ about the Trinity. But think about how many verses you know of that explain it. Just think for a second. You won't really think of any. The best one you'll probably think about is baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That doesn't really explain anything about those. You know, it just kind of says their name. But we don't, and just that alone goes to show you that no one's really picked up on that before. Like what I just said, we don't so much care, or rather aren't really even seeking sometimes, what is God actually saying? We just care more or less what's in our tenets of faith, and that's what makes you a Christian. The Trinity by itself is something that, again, just me asking you a question like that, because I'm sure many of us don't even know any more verse than what I just named about the Trinity, that actually teach on it and explain it the way that we explain it today in our tenets of faith. That's a cornerstone teaching in the body of Christ. We know that, right? That's a cornerstone teaching in the body of Christ, and that's not even founded in Scripture. How do we get so involved with a doctrine that it becomes a cornerstone? If you look at a church's tenets of faith, typically, that's one of the first ones, that we believe in the Trinity, that God is three in one, that God, one God, is actually three people. And think about it. We explain that. Does the Bible say that anywhere? I don't know of any verses where that says that, but we don't really care sometimes. Again, I'm not really rebuking you in here because I don't believe that's the majority of us in here, but we really don't care what the Bible says. I heard a man say several times, some people won't let the Bible get in the way of what they believe. But it's true. Another teaching is this here. It says, wherein have you robbed me? Wherein have we robbed you? And it says in tithes and offerings. So a tithe, right, and an offering. Keep this in context. This is Malachi, so this is the Old Testament. A tithe is not a tenth of your money. There's a lot that goes into an actual tithe. What we call a tithe, like 10% of your increase, is not what a tithe is solely. They had methods of doing this, okay? In other words, if you actually want to tithe, they would have like a staff out, and they would have their livestock pass under the staff, okay? This is how you tithe, okay? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we don't really even read what the Bible says. We just make up our own doctrine about what a tithe is. A tithe is not just getting a paycheck and giving a tenth. You have to hold this staff out in certain cases, depending on what you're tithing on. There's different ways to tithe on different things, whether it's your livestock or increase in some other way. And like the tenth, you know, sheep or whatever that passed under the staff, that one was holy to the Lord. There's a lot of stuff that goes into this, right? So a tithe is not necessarily what we say it is. It's actually something that was written under the law. that was spoken about and how you tithe. An offering also. You heard of like burnt offerings, right? And sin offerings and trespass offerings. And there's a whole bunch of offerings. Offerings made by fire, offerings made not by fire, offerings that are slaughtered outside the tabernacle, offerings that are brought outside the camp after they're burned. Offerings, there's a whole bunch of different kinds of offerings, right? If you read the beginning of Leviticus, you find out about all of them. Again, trespass offering, sin offering, burnt offering. Some offerings are for sin, some offerings are not. So some offerings are for different purposes. You offer certain things before certain events. You offer certain things during certain festivals. You offer certain things. Those are the offerings that they're referring to, right? They're not talking about when you pass a basket, obviously, right? That's not in the Bible. Tithes and offerings are, he's referring to the things, you know, at least symbolically, that are subscribed, or rather prescribed under the law, right? Now, let me just say this very, very quick. Let me just bring you to one more verse, and I'm just going to just disprove certain things just very, very quickly. Let me just look at chapter 1. Okay, very, very quickly. Malachi 1, verse 10. Now, remember, we're still in Malachi, so the whole of Malachi is like a rebuke to Israel, basically, okay? And he said, you've robbed me of tithes and offerings. Keep that in mind, you've robbed me of tithes and offerings. Now, if you're just talking about a tithe and an offering, straight, like physically, that's talking about what I just was referring to, right? There's ways to tithe. There are certain things you tithe on. And first and foremost, this is the most important thing about a tithe. You are supposed to give the tithe to the priest that you're under, okay? There is no anywhere in the Bible, please hear me from like through what I'm saying about scripture, not in the conference the way we've heard it before. I'm telling you actually what the Bible says, right? You shouldn't take what I'm saying just because I say that, but I'm genuinely showing you what the Bible says and nothing more. I'm not even expounding. I'm only telling you right now what Malachi is saying, what Leviticus says, things like that, okay? A tithe and an offering, specifically a tithe, is supposed to go to the priest. And no, a priest is someone that makes atonement for you. Does that make sense? No, the Catholic Church is dead wrong on what they call a priest, okay? There is no mediator between God and man except the man Jesus Christ, right? That is sinful, and I say sinful. The Catholic Church and the way they practice things is not okay. It's not, honestly, if they actually adhere to what they say they believe, they are not saved. You cannot be saved trusting in a different mediator, period. Now, if they really don't trust in that and they really are trusting on Jesus, you could be saved and call yourself Catholic. You could be saved and call yourself Hindu. It doesn't matter what you call yourself as long as you believe on the man. Jesus Christ believed that he is Lord of all things. God raised him from the dead, that what he did for you on the cross, right? So, like I said, it doesn't matter what you call yourself. But I'm not talking about a priest like Catholic priest. That's sinful, okay? That is a sin. Like that is blasphemy, actually, okay? In the highest form, to call somebody else a priest between you and God that can forgive sins. So anyway, I'm not getting on a soapbox, but that is the truth of it. But let me say this. The priest is actually somebody who's supposed to atone for you, for your sins, and keep you okay with God. In the Old Testament, they have symbolic priests, the Levites. And the tithe, whether in the Old Testament or the New Testament that we live under, tithe always, read Hebrews 7 about Melchizedek and all this stuff, tithe always goes to your priest. It's what you do. It is what's in the Bible. If you want to tithe properly, you tithe to your priest. Pastor Jose is not your priest. Pastor Jose is your pastor. That's why you call him Pastor Jose, right? We don't call him Priest Jose, right? Which sounds funny, but and it should. But Pastor Jose, the word pastor means shepherd. He teaches. That's great. That's awesome, right? But a priest is someone that makes atonement for you. A priest is not a preacher. Priest is someone who makes sacrifices for you to keep you cool with God. That's what a priest does. And that's Hebrews chapter 5 says that, verse 1. Okay? So you can check all these verses up. And when you tithe, there's nowhere else in the Bible, there's nowhere in the Bible that says that a tithe goes to your pastor. Or it says bring your tithes into the storehouse, and people change it, literally change that to mean that the storehouse is the church or where you're fed. Whatever, that's not what a tithe is, okay? That's not what a tithe is. But to speed this up, we understand, right, that everything in the Old Testament was only symbolic. So think about this. You have a symbolic priest that symbolizes Jesus. There's so much to explain with this. Then you have symbolic offerings that are not actually, the big word, but not actually efficacious. They're not actually effective because of the innocent blood that you were shedding, but actually even the sacrifices were only symbolic of Jesus. And God would actually pass over somebody's sin, a single sin, if they made a sacrifice and offered up a symbol of Jesus in the Old Testament, okay? That's the only reason why they were efficacious, effective, was because they were symbolic. But the priest was also symbolic, and if you're willing to receive this, the tithe, like any other offering or any other practice or any other commandment in the Old Testament, is also symbolic. Do you offer burnt offerings? Yes and no. Do you have a priest? Yes and no. You don't have a priest like the Old Testament, but you have the real priest, right? Who made a real atonement for you. Do you offer burnt offerings to God? If you were just offering any thanks to God during praise and worship, or even right now, you are offering burnt offerings. So yes and no, but you're not offering an animal, right, and burning it in the fire ascending to the Father as a sweet-smelling aroma, but you are offering a burnt offering anytime that you remember Jesus. So we practice, think about this, we practice the reality, right? Not the shadow. Read Colossians chapter 2 specifically. We don't practice the shadow, we practice the reality. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here, we'd be in a temple somewhere. We'd be offering animals, right? But we know as believers, we don't discount burnt offerings, right? We don't discount priesthood. We don't discount circumcision. All those things are new covenant practices if you're talking about the reality. But you know your flesh was circumcised, which means that the Holy Spirit lives through you and not your flesh anymore. And that's what circumcision is, but you are the circumcision, the true circumcision. We don't practice Old Testament priesthood, new priest. You know what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying, right? Not the shadow, but the reality. Why do we take a tithe and we still practice the shadow tithe? And we don't even practice it right. We don't even do what it says. But tithe is merely symbolic in the Old Testament. That shouldn't come as a surprise, because every other thing in the Old Testament is a shadow. And Colossians says that. The Old Testament is a shadow. It means it's a symbol. It's not the real. It's the fake. And that's okay to say. It's actually the fake version. That's just to give you an image, a shadow, a picture of what was to come, right? The Bible calls these things a testimony of what was to come. Why do we take tithe and then we give a 10% of our income? Like I said, that's not even really the right way to do it if you're actually going to do it right. The shadow, I mean. If you're going to practice the shadow right, there's a lot more that goes into it than that. And you'd have to, like I said before, there's a lot that goes into it. But we take the tithe, we pull that out of the entire law and say, nope, this is a Christian doctrine. There it is in my tenets of faith. You give 10% to your church. You had to actually twist it and mess it up first and then put it in your tenets of faith. And it's already wrong, but it's further wrong because you're practicing a shadow. Not even practicing it correct, mind you, if you were going to practice the shadow, but practicing a shadow, even though you don't practice animal sacrifices and Levites being the priests, you know, we don't go to Israel to find a descendant of Levi to call him our priest, right? We have the real priest, right? You say, that's blasphemy. Well, tithe is blasphemy when you're practicing the shadow as a means of blessing from God or not. It's further blasphemous when we think God's going to bless us because we give 10%. But even just the shadow itself, then you're living under what's called the tutor. You're living under the shadow, and you're not accepting the reality. And I promise you, I will stop right here. Let's just read very, very quickly Malachi 1:10, and I won't even read the whole verse just so that we can skip to it. He's talking to Israel, and he says, "Neither will I accept an offering at your hand." Think about this for a second. This is going to show us that tithes and offerings under the Old Testament, the things that we practice today as New Testament believers, tithes and offerings are merely symbolic. Giving at church is not wrong, mind you. But tithes and offerings, the way we call it today, tithing, this 10% thing and all that, that's not New Covenant at all. And I'll show you that. He tells Israel, "I'm not going to receive any more offerings at your hand. For from the rising of the sun even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles." So what he's telling Israel basically is, all of your offerings are profane to me. When you offer them, they're profane. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to move to the Gentiles because you've rejected me. He actually calls himself, you know, when the Bible said that he hates divorce, it's actually in Malachi here. But it's not talking about divorce between a husband and wife, even though God doesn't want husbands and wives to be divorced. He actually calls himself the wife of their youth. And he's basically saying that, you know, I'm divorcing you now because your offerings to me are profane. So, and I hate divorce, but you know what? This is going to happen because you broke my covenant. This is the Old Testament, right? So you broke my covenant, the Old Testament, the work covenant. You broke it. Your offerings are profane to me. So what he says here, I'm going to switch to the Gentiles. My name shall be great among the Gentiles instead of you. And in every place, watch this, in every place, incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, or rather the Gentiles, same word, saith the Lord of hosts. Very, very quickly. This is really not teaching on it. It's just giving you a little something to think about. He just said, your offerings are profane to me, but I'm going to switch to the Gentiles now, and they're going to offer me a pure offering now. If in context of the whole book, he's telling them, your tithes and offerings are profane to me, so I'm going to let the Gentiles be my people now. And the Gentiles are going to offer to me pure offerings. Or you could also add tithes there because he adds it later. Pure tithes and offerings. Very quickly, very quickly. What is he talking about? What are you talking about? The Gentiles, that would be any non-Jew. Now I'm going to switch to them. You've rejected me. And the Gentiles are going to offer to me pure tithes and offerings. Do you know that it's illegal under the law for a Gentile like you and me, physical Gentile, to offer tithes and offerings? It's illegal. You're not supposed to. If you're not part of Israel, you're not supposed to. Just think about this for me. So why would God say that we, in the new covenant, will offer God pure tithes and offerings? If he were talking about the physical ordinance, we would be disqualified from offering those things. Let me just submit this to you. He's not taught. When he says your offerings are profane, but the Gentiles will offer me something pure, you've robbed me of tithes and offerings, but my name will be great among them. If you're willing to receive this, all of this that he's talking about is not talking about physical tithes and offerings. All those things were only symbolic. The offerings he's talking about that they had robbed him of, and that he would go and he would receive from the Gentiles because his name, his reputation would be great among the Gentiles, is worship. When you remember Jesus, when you understand Jesus, when you thank Jesus for what he did, and the knowledge of Christ works in your heart that way, it's like an offering. Sometimes the Bible calls it burnt offerings, but I believe also tithes is also part of this also. You ever hear the Bible say in Hebrews, let us offer up continually a sacrifice of praise to the Lord? Why would it say that? Why would he say that? Did he just pull that out of somewhere, just like sacrifice of praise? There's a lot of verses for this. Like I'm tempted to go to them, and I won't because of time. But let me just say this. Offerings in the Bible, not all of them, but there are certain offerings in the Bible, and I believe tithes is also one of those offerings in the Bible that are, and I know that all of it is symbolic because the whole law is symbolic, but just to wrap it up very quickly, worship is like offering to God, a burnt offering. And when you remember Jesus and when you're thanking Jesus, that's what the Bible calls a burnt offering, or I believe also a tithe. I don't know why right now all the information about why a tithe is symbolic of that, but for instance, even in Hosea, the Bible says that we will offer up continually. It says, we offer you the calves of our lips. The calves of our lips. Sacrifice of praise in Hebrews. All I'm saying is we have the tithe wrong. That's my main point today. We have it totally wrong. When you give at church, you give because it's okay to say that we are obligated. Think about it. If someone does something really nice for you and you want to return the favor, that's great. That's okay. Why is that okay? Because you just want balance, right? That's okay. Doesn't mean you always have to pay somebody back if they want to do something for you, but it's okay to want to return the favor to somebody. When somebody gives you spiritual things, this is New Covenant. When someone feeds you spiritual things and is teaching you the Word of God, you are then obligated to say, how can I take care of this person or this minister so that I can continue to reap from them the spiritual things, the Word of God, and I will give to them to support them. That balance there is perfect. That's awesome. But it's not a percentage. This tithe and offering thing and using verses like this is not biblical. tithe is an ordinance under the law, and it is merely symbolic. And there is no such thing as giving 10%. Oh, and by the way, doesn't it make a lot of sense now that we do offer tithes? And who do we offer it to? Not Pastor Jose to Harvest Church, to our priest. Doesn't that make sense? You always offer tithes to the priest. And I'll get you verses for that if you want. There's a lot of them. Hebrews 7 does explain that, though. The tithe goes to the priest. And check this out. Our tithes and our burnt offerings, where do they go? They go to our priest. Doesn't that just make sense? And that is in the Bible, right? And so it's so much better to see things from a scriptural standpoint and not from the thing just, you know, somebody saying something and you just buying it just because, you know, because it was taught and it sounded convincing. There's a lot of questions I know that could be going in your mind, and I would love to answer them, but like I said, I am going to stop now. So, but don't mistake this as me not having more information about this, because I'm thinking about verses right now in Genesis and stuff like that, and I'll just not go there right now, okay? But if you want to find out more about this, you know, I can always answer a question specifically about this, or you can ask Pastor Jose after service. But yeah, I think that's good enough for now. Tithes, symbolic, all that jazz, and that's good. So, you know, let's just pray, and then we will give. But this is not going to be tithe and offering time. This is free will, and this is as the Lord lays on your heart, you know, what you think is right to give from the Lord, right? So, okay, so let's just pray. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you so much for what you've done. Thank you so much, Father, for, Lord, we do thank you, then we praise you, Lord. And this is why we stopped at first, and we just prayed, and we just thanked you, Lord. And then you taught on tithe, because actually what we're about to do, Lord, is not tithe, but what we just did and what we're currently doing right now, Lord, and speaking to you, this is tithe, Lord. When we thank you, Lord, for what you've done, and we appreciate, Lord, the things that you've done, Lord, and we remember what you've done. Thank you, Lord. It's a sacrifice of praise to you, the calves of our lips, Lord, offered to you. And we thank you so much, Father, for all that you've done. And we just listen to you, Jesus, so you can continually instill us with all the knowledge of what you've done for us. Thank you so much, Lord. We do appreciate it. And we've just tithed. And now we're about to give. So we thank you, Father, for all this in Jesus' name.